It was about Wednesday. I started preparing, and it being the 2nd of July, that Sunday and all that. I was like, you know, I need to take advantage and preach on freedom. And so I felt like the Lord asked me to bump it back a week. So I've got something for you today, but it's kind of like chicken spaghetti or chili. I don't know if you guys are cookers or not, but I love to cook. That's one of my things. And so what I've done, I've learned this. When I make chili, I make it, I give it to the family, the kids, stuff, but then I freeze it. Because I know this, when I freeze it and then when I rethaw it about 2 days later, it's 10 times better than it was before it went up. The girls are eating crunchy celery. I'm fixing to eat the good stuff. And so I felt like I'd put this one on the back burner and put it, froze it. But then, so I tried to start developing a different message, because how many of you guys know, manna wasn't able to hold over? Any of you guys remember those days? They couldn't hold the manna over. And so, I was like, God, I don't want to give people stale bread. I don't want to give people. So I always battled that, you know, whether or not giving people stale bread and things like that. But there's a scripture in Exodus, and it says this. It says that the Lord gave the hungry manna. And the word manna meant, you know what they call it? It says, I don't know what it is. What is it? Is what the word manna means. They had no idea what it is. So I got something this morning that's not going to be stale bread, because it's alive in me more than it ever was a month ago. So I'm going to just throw it at you. And those that are hungry this morning, you'll receive it. How many guys are hungry today? If you didn't come hungry, you're about to miss out on something great. You guys know you were made more than a conqueror. Now, that's a concept I speak a lot on lately, is you got to understand God wants more for you than just to win. There's more there for you than you just to get through what you're going through. There's more for you than you just to get the bills paid and then start over. There's more for you than you just getting through what you're getting through. There's more. That's why he said you are more than a conqueror. Now, the problem with it is a lot of us have no idea what more looks like, because we have come to a place where we have learned to live in the area or the arena of just enough. God is not a God of just enough. Bible says, as a matter of fact, that he, when you have a need, he has more than what you need. But because we don't understand the concepts of God's more, a lot of times, we're happy just getting through winning. I'm saying, I don't know about you, but when I go through a great battle, all right, say sickness, say division or strife or, you know, suffering or something, when I'm in the middle of it, I'm just, my prayer usually quits praying, God, I want more out of this. It usually goes to God, I just want out of this. And I try to just get through it. And when the pressure pulls back, or when the need has been met, or when the pain leaves, I feel like I'm a winner. How many of you guys agree? Like, all right, I don't know if you're sick. I go back to sickness, and, you know, being a pastor in Florida, the first solid year I was there, moving to a different climate and those kind of things, I caught strep throat 4 times the first year I was there. And because of the different climate stuff, and I'd say every time I got it, I'd be like, God, I believe I'm healed. I thank you that you're healing me. And the minute the pain would quit, I felt like I had won that battle. And a lot of times in every area of my life, as soon as the pain or the pressure or the strife is over, I feel like God completed it. But I want you to know something. God has more for you than that. That's why he said he wants you to be more than a conqueror. He wants you to win. That's a guarantee. Winning is a guarantee for you if you don't give up. As long as you don't quit, you will win. It will. But the thing about it is, how much do we leave laying on the ground? How much do we? Because most of us have no idea what victory looks like. You know, is victory the kid coming to the altar and giving his heart to the Lord on a Sunday? A lot of times that's what we celebrate. Yeah, victory. But when we walk out of here on Sunday, you know, then that child still walks out and struggles with the same thing. And we thank God that victory didn't last very long. He wants more for you than that victory. He wants you to be more than a conqueror. He wants you to have more financially than just to pay the bills. And then you have to worry about next month's. He wants more for you than for you to just get this doctor's diagnosis saying you're in remission. But not have to, you know, the doctors always say, but we're going to have to keep a watch on it. We're just happy to get in remission. What does victory look like? I want to tell you what victory looks like. This is what the Bible teaches all the way through. Victory looks like wherever it is, you are satisfied. Wherever you choose to be satisfied at, that's victory. If you're satisfied with your bills being paid, that's victory. If you're satisfied with you going into remission, that's victory. If you're satisfied with the argument and the strife being over, that's victory. Wherever you're satisfied is victory. Now the question is, are you satisfied? You're in here today. You're obviously, God has been faithful to you all along the way. You're living, you're breathing, you might be battling and stuff, but you're here today. Are you satisfied with just being here? Or is there a way for you to raise your expectations, to raise your faith to a place where there's more? Because the Bible said this, be it unto you according to your faith. See, you got to know who God is. God is able to do all that we've ever thought or even hoped for. But the problem is, God only has the ability to do what you're satisfied with. That's why the Bible says this. The Bible says with long life, that's exciting. Long life. Will I satisfy you? You realize long life can be an age. Everyone can be satisfied at a different age. I've been sitting in hospitals with people, you know, in their 50s, suffering and dealing with an attack from the enemy. And I've been sitting by their bed, praying with them, talking to them, saying, you know, let's believe God for a miracle is key. And this is what they would say. They'd say, you know, I'm just tired. I believe I'm ready to go home. And they would die. We've been there many. I've been a pastor long enough now to be with a lot of families and watch people die. And their family members would be like, well, God failed us. We lost this battle. No. Where are you satisfied? Because whatever point of victory you choose to settle for. Remember a couple of weeks we talked about settling. Whatever place you decide is good enough, that's where you stop. We talked about Abraham's father, Terah, where the Bible says he was going to Canaan. And when he got to Haran, the Bible says when he got there, he settled there. And the Bible says he died there. Now, did he have a decent existence and a decent life? Yes. Bible says when Abraham left, he had large amounts of bulls. But see, he was headed to Canaan. But he got halfway there and settled. How many areas in my life have I got halfway there and settled for? Because it was good enough. Got to a place where it was good enough for me. It was tolerable at that point. When you pulled the pain and the screeching of the strep throat down, pulled it away, I was satisfied. Instead of believing God to build my immune system up where I wouldn't get it again, you know, a month or two later I had it and I started realizing, God's going to give me whatever I'll settle for. Because he can't do anything. The Bible says he can't do anything unless I'm willing to have faith in that area. But with faith, all things are possible. So my question is, where are you satisfied at? Another question to ask is, what area in life or place have you settled for? Because the enemy loves it when you settle. The enemy loves it when you give or leave on the ground things that God intended for you to have. I used to have a coach in high school. Now, you would look at me and not think I was much of a sports player. But there were some sports I could not play. But I had a football coach. We went to a very small school, a private school. I graduated with 8. So that meant it took my entire grade and the grade underneath me to be a football team. And so we had sports, and we had a football team. Now, I'm a basketball player. That's what I enjoyed doing. And I, although I wasn't high, I was fast, and so I enjoyed basketball. That's where I enjoyed pulling into, and I may not could have been good under the basket, but I'm telling you, you didn't want me to chase you all the way down the court because I was faster than a lot of them and those kind of things. So I was a basketball player, but I had a football coach. His name was Coach Anderson. And he was a big old black guy. He had fought in Vietnam. He got injured in Vietnam. And so he was on full disability. So he took this coaching thing a little bit more serious than I thought he should have took it, because it wasn't that important to me, but it was his life. And he didn't, since he drew full disability, he gave every bit of his life to this football program. And I mean, looking back now, I'm so glad that God sends in guys that can do that in different areas. And so his life was football. And I wanted to tell him back then, look at me, because I graduated not weighing 96 pounds. I have gotten bigger since then, but when I graduated, I was a little bitty thing. And my senior year and junior year, he used to push me all the time to be on this football team. So I was on the football team, and he was all in, aggressive, all in. He was like, had a D-boy, and he could holler at you, and he was ex-military, so he had the whole boot camp thing going on with us, and he would intimidate you just looking your way. And he used to always tell me after every practice and every game, I'd come walking off pouring sweat, thinking I did the best I had done. And every time I walked by, he'd look at me and says, "You're just not hungry." And it was probably one of the reasons why I didn't like him so much. He's like, he never had a good word to say to me. But every practice and every game, that was his thing. He'd say, "You're just not hungry." Now, he'd praise all the other guys, and they were doing extremely well. And, you know, but he would just tell me, "I'm just not hungry. You're just not hungry." I heard that thousands of times during my junior and senior year of football. And I didn't look into that and understand the depth of this thing. And the truth is, I wasn't hungry. I didn't care how good I did on the football field. The only reason why I played football is because if I didn't get involved in all the sports, they wasn't going to let me start on the basketball team. I knew that. So I had to play football to play basketball. But Coach Anderson would tell me constantly, over and over again, "You're just not hungry." And every time we lost a game, this way he'd say, "Y'all just wasn't hungry." Every time we won a game, he goes, "Finally, you guys got hungry." And that was his thing. And I didn't get it for a long time. My question is, are you guys hungry? I want to talk a few minutes about you being hungry. Because what you got to know is this. The reason why you've been fighting the devil so hard in the areas you've been fighting him for is because the devil knows what potential you have. And the reason why he's coming at you the way he's coming at you is not where you've been. He's not coming at you the way he's been coming at you, where you are. He's been coming at you the way he's been coming at you because he knows where you can go. Your future is what he's afraid of. He's not afraid of what you're doing right now. That's why you have the ability and the process to be able to do it. He's scared of what you can become and what God, he knows God is going to do through you. And when you get this into your understanding that God is, I mean, the devil is fighting you not because of where you are now or where you even came from. That's the, where you came from is in the past. You're not dealing with what you're dealing with because of mistakes you've made. That's covered. God already shed his blood. You're not dealing with what you've been going through because of the situation going on. You're dealing with what you're dealing with because your future. Tomorrow, God has such great things in store for you. The Bible says your latter will be greater than your former. God, in the kingdom of God, your tomorrow will always be better than your yesterday. And if you can't see that, you will never be hungry. But the Bible tells us a secret on how to be blessed. That's the word it used there, blessed. And, you know, when you do the research on blessed, it means this: lacking no good thing. How many guys would like to get to a place where you lack no good thing? Everything in your life is good. Well, you got to understand that is God's intention for you. His intention for you is to lack no good thing. So the question is this: what am I satisfied not having? Because God's plan for me is to bless me. I can show it to you. In the most famous sermon that Jesus preached, they call it the greatest sermon ever, is found in Matthew chapter 5. And in Matthew chapter 5 is titled the Sermon on the Mountain. Now, I guess they call it that because he was standing on a mountain when he gave it. Some people call it the greatest sermon ever written. But Jesus goes into detail at the beginning of it, telling you that he wants you blessed over and over again. Then he goes into detail telling you how he can bless you. In other words, I want to bless you, but you have to be willing to do this to get it. And some people call it the Beatitudes, but we're going to jump one of those out of the book this morning. We're going to talk about it for a few minutes. Joe, if you will go to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. I want to know the secret to being blessed. Because I got to be honest with you. I look at my bank account. I look at the situations I deal with. I look at what I accomplish and do during the day. And I guess if I was truthful with you, I'm just not satisfied. And if you've reached a place of satisfaction in your life, I hope the Holy Spirit will stir something inside of you today. Because victory will be the picture of where you're satisfied at. At whatever level of life you choose to be satisfied, that's the level of life you will live. But if you're not satisfied, if there's something going on in your life, in some area, something, you know, with relationships or job or friend, if you're not satisfied, I want you to know something. God has something more for you. We won't talk about it this morning. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So I love this. In the beginning of this beatitude, he says this. He says, blessed, which means lacking no good thing. In other words, God wants you to have no good thing, but you have to do this. You have to be hungry. It says you have to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And then the promise of that is, what does it look like? Where it says, no, where what does no, lacking no good thing look like? He gave you another picture of it here. He says, all right, lacking no good thing are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be completely satisfied, is what one translation says. In every area of your life, God is able to satisfy you. So my question is, what level are you satisfied at? I'm telling you, there are lots of areas in my life I want more. I want more. I want more not because I'm greedy. I want more not because I'm selfish or materialistic. I want more because I want to be able to do more, mean more, accomplish more. I want to be able to affect more. I'm telling you. See, what the reason why you have more inside of you, you need to know this. Because it's the way God made you. The way God made you, He made you with the desire for more. Because that's what He created every living thing on this planet to do. Is to produce more. If you go back into Genesis, it says this. It says when He started creating things, He put into it a systematic way that everything He made that was living, it had the ability to produce more. And what they had the ability to produce is more like themselves. Now, this first of all takes me evaluating myself and see, what am I? Because this is the truth reality. How many of us in here claim to be born-again Christians, claim to be children of God, claim to be what God has called us to be, and we're trying to take steps to go that way, but we haven't produced one single Christian in the last 12 months. Because the Bible says this. The Bible says that we will produce after our own kind. So I want to, even in my Christian walk, if I'm not producing other Christians, parents, if I'm not raising children to fear the Lord, if a worker, if I'm not at work sharing my faith and no one can tell it, then I'm not being what God created me to be. That people say, God, tell me what you put me on this earth to be. First of all, He put you on this earth to produce after your own kind. So whatever you are, you need to begin to focus on, I need to produce this everywhere I go. Now, if you're bitter and cantankerous, it's truthful. You hang around a bitter and cantankerous person, and before long, everybody in that room will be bitter and cantankerous. How many of you have been there before? You produce more. So my question is, what are you, number one? Then number two, are you satisfied producing at the level you produce? I'm not. But the Bible says that God wants to bless me to a point that I'll be completely full. My part is this, I have to be hungry. So today we're going to talk for the next 20 minutes about hunger. Now, you guys are lucky because I got online this week and I ordered some chocolate fragrance oils. And when I got to the point of this service, they were about to shoot through these air vents and we were about to make this place smell like chocolate. But Amazon messed up and they're not going to be delivered till tomorrow. I was, because researching things that stir up hunger, they said the smell of chocolate is the number one smell that makes people hungry. I was going to have you guys so hungry your mouth was going to be watering. You would have never known it through the rest of this service. But they didn't. They won't deliver till tomorrow. So let you know it's coming. You just may not know when. But hunger is something that can be controlled. Now what I want to talk about is this. Are you satisfied or are you hungry? Because as long as you're hungry, the Bible says that you can be blessed. And the Bible says as long as you're hungry, God can fulfill you. The problem with it is, a lot of us aren't hungry anymore. We've gotten to the place where we've gotten full. And because we've gotten full, God has not had the ability to pour anything else into our lives because we're satisfied. I'll show it to you in the scripture. The Bible says the woman that needed to pay her bills and she didn't have anything, she said, go get all the pots you can get. So she went and got filled her house up with pots. And the Bible says when the pots were there, the oil started flowing. It says, and the oil poured until they were all filled. When there was nowhere else to put the oil, God don't waste anything. You need to understand that God does not waste a single thing. So if you're full where you're at right now, if you're satisfied, the reason why God can't put anything else in your life is because you're not hungry. As long as you're hungry, God will satisfy. The thing about hunger is this, it's different than appetite. See, appetite, a lot of times as Christians, we get hungry. We think we're hungry because we like church and we like reading the Bible. And there's not, we like going to prayer meeting and we like the idea of God giving us more and doing. But the thing about it is, it's just an appetite. You know, sometimes I've got an appetite for certain things and I don't got an appetite for something else, but I'm still usually eating. Because if you ever quit eating for a long enough period of time, you die. Appetites are desires. Last night, in the middle of the night, I got up and I said, Jen, I got to go get some milk because we got some pecan cookies in the cabinet. And I've got an appetite. I want them pecan cookies. And Jen said, you're not leaving. It's too late. Lay down. So I wanted it. But it was just a want. Now, there's a difference in hunger. Because, see, you can just want something. And just because you want it doesn't make it hunger. Hunger is different than appetite because appetite is something that you want or you would like to have or would be nice. Hunger is something that if you don't get it, you will die. It is a need. It is a must. And if you don't eat, then you will die. They say you can live, 40 days without food, 3 days without water. When if you can only live 3 minutes without air. You know, there's the old story where the young monk walked up to the big monk and said, hey, man, I want to know the knowledge and all that just like you. So he said, great, come with me. They walked over to the water trough, grabbed him by his head and slammed it under the water. The young monk started kicking and squirming, trying to get loose. And the old monk just held him there and held him there and held him there. And he was kicking his head, trying to splash and trying to do it and fighting every way he could. And finally, when his body went limp, the old monk pulled his head up out of the water. He said, why did you do that? He said, there's a fly in here. He said, because when you get to where you want knowledge as bad as you wanted that next breath, he says, you won't have to come to me to get it. You'll get it on your own. I want you to understand something. There are a lot of times on Sunday mornings we come in here hoping to get a word or wanting to get a little message or maybe we want somebody to pray for us, but I want you to know something. If you'll get yourself to a point where you have to have it, you have to have that word to get through what you're going through. You have to get a prayer to be able to get what you got. You have to have it. Then you're going to find out what hunger is. And then the Bible says God will fill you. Hunger is completely different than appetite. And I want you to know that hunger is a sign of health. You find somebody that never is hungry, you find somebody that's very sick. Christians in the church. If I find Christians that aren't very hungry, I find Christians that are very, very weak. When people get to the latter ends of their life and also when people go through sicknesses like cancer and things, and the doctors always watch, and one of the main questions is this, are they eating? As a parent, we watch our babies and, you know, we know something's wrong when our kids don't want to eat anymore and they're not hungry. Because it's a sign there's something wrong and death is coming at the door. I want you to know that if you're a Christian here and you've been satisfied and you hadn't wanted any more for a long time, there's something wrong. There's something missing in your life. But God says, I will fill the hungry. When I was preparing, I kept hearing Coach Anderson say in my head, you're just not hungry. You're just not hungry. That used to make me mad. Hopefully this morning when I ask you, are you hungry? It makes you excited because if you can hunger, the Bible says, God can give you more. You know, the biggest enemy of hunger is self-perception. And when you're dealing with hunger with teenagers and, you know, even adults, there's such thing called an eating disorder. And eating disorders are caused by self-perceptions. You know, you find a rail thin girl standing in front of a mirror. If she's got an eating disorder, she'll stand in front of the mirror weighing 50 pounds and think she's fat. Or you find someone that is so overweight, when they look in the mirror, they think they're healthy. Self-perception affects hunger greatly. And what you need to know about this is, you need to know about yourself is, God has already made you a winner. Most of us lose hunger because the enemy convinces us that we've already gotten more than we deserve. We've already gone as far as we can go, and we don't deserve anything else. And a lot of us have spiritual eating disorders because when we look in the mirror of the Word, we don't think we could ever deserve or God could ever use us to do that. I want you to know something. The single fact that you're even here today is proof you're a winner. Proof you're a winner. Who don't mind telling? Ricky just had a birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, Ricky. Or 2 days ago. I don't want to say the wrong word. How old are you, Ricky? 50 years old. 50 years old. Well, let me tell you, I can prove to you, Ricky, you're a winner. That just the fact that you're, because 50 years ago, and give or take about 9 months, you were hanging out with a bunch of your buddies. You weren't very big at that point. You were just a little wiggly worm. And you were the man at that point because you had 100,000 friends. 100,000 of you and your buddies were just hanging out, chilling and, you know, having a good time. And all of a sudden, somebody or you'd heard hey, we're going to have a race. And Ricky, you said a race. That'd be pretty cool. Who's all going to be in it? And every one of your 100,000 little buddies lined up on the same line you lined up on. And then something happened. And that race started. And that race defied all odds. 50 years and 9 months and a few days, you started running, Ricky. And in that race, you outran, and you didn't just do it. You stomped every other racer in that race. You came into this world a winner. The very fact that you're sitting here proves that you're a winner. Now, I want you to know something. God did not change a single thing about you from the day you were born. You put you here being a winner. You had everything in you to beat all odds and win. The thing about it is, the enemy's convinced us by making us look at what we've been through or where we came from. And I'm telling you, we've decided there are things in life we just don't deserve to win anymore. When God looks at you, He says, I made you a winner. You were a winner when you got here. And I want you to understand that. He wants you to be a winner when you leave here. But anywhere along that race, Paul said this, run the race as to win. You got to get to the point you're as hungry as you were day one. I tell you, them babies, they come out screaming for food. They only know how to communicate. I only knew how to communicate for two reasons. Same two reasons every one of us still communicate. We communicate when we're hungry, and we communicate when we make a mess. And when we make a mess of things, we start crying out to God. And when we're hungry, we cry out to God. The thing about it is, God's saying, if you can learn to live hungry all the time, you can get to a place where you'll cry out to me all the time. If you get to a place where you're never satisfied enough, do you know what happens to people that get satisfied? They go to sleep. What's the first thing that happens after you eat your Thanksgiving dinner? You go look for the biggest recliner in front of the biggest TV you can get to. When people get satisfied, they go to sleep. And it's dangerous to go to sleep when it comes to the things of God. Because in the Bible, when people fell asleep, they lost things. Bible says Samson, if he would have never fell asleep that day, he would have never lost his hair, which would have never lost the spirit on him. There was a prince that was running that fell asleep in a lady's lap, and when she fell asleep, she put a spike through his head. Dangerous things happen when Christians fall asleep. But I want you to know something. If you're hungry, you won't sleep. Me and Jennifer are different on the point of, I have to eat before bed. Because if I don't eat before bed, I'm standing at the refrigerator every night. If I try to go to bed hungry, it don't work for me. I can't sleep. I'll toss. I'll turn. Now, Jennifer's different. She can eat at lunch and go to sleep all night, but that ain't the way it is. You know, thing about it, and this is what I find a lot of times. I get up and I go to the refrigerator, I open the refrigerator, and I stand there and I look, and there's a lot of times I'm starving, but I don't know what it is I want. You guys know all you've done it to. You've walked up to the refrigerator thing. I don't know if that'd be good. And then you end up usually eating because I don't know what it is I want to eat. I usually end up eating something that I shouldn't eat and I regret it the next morning. How many of you guys have done that before? Because you don't know what it is you're hungry for. You'll eat something that you shouldn't be eating in the first place. And the Bible says here clearly, he says that if you'll hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, before we go any further, you need to understand what righteousness is. Because righteousness is one of them big old religious words that goes all the way through the scripture. And it talks about righteousness. So many, but it boils down to, if you take all the scriptures about righteousness and put them all together, it comes down into two categories. And it deals with two things. Number one, it deals with relationship. The word righteous means right standing with God. As long as you are hungry for a relationship with God, the Bible says God can bring you to a place of blessing and he will fill you. Second thing, right, is a way of living. God's way and plan for you to live your life is righteousness. When you choose to live your life the way God intended and planned for you to live your life, you're pursuing, if you're wanting that, then that's righteousness. But see, not only is there a enemy of hunger, which is a perception of ourselves, a lot of times we have an enemy of hunger is a perception of God. We honestly think that we can do things or get through things or live times without him. You need to understand something. The enemy of hunger is to say, you don't need to eat. You know, me and Jen, now that I'm in my 40s, I battle my weight all the time. And people argue with me that you don't need to lose weight. You don't understand. 2 days of not watching my weight, and I can't wear the clothes that I have in my closet. And that's the truth. I can diet for 2 weeks, go on vacation for 2 days, and come back and have to get the fat pants out of the back of the closet. In my 40s, it changed. I mean, it'd take me 2 more weeks just to get those pounds off that I put on during that. It is amazing what the 40s. And since I got a hot, young, beautiful wife, I have to make sure I stay trim as I can because, you know what I'm saying? She don't even have to work at it, and she looks that way. I have to work hard to make it look this way. And so we actually go through periods of time where we do, like, I eat 500 calories a day. And, you know, the truth of the matter is this. I think I can function that way, but I want you to know something. You can't function that way long. And see, because we have a misperception of God, we think we can live without God. Sometimes we'll try to go days without him, and you need to understand something. The only thing that can feed the hunger that's on the inside of you is God. And if you're on a 200 calorie God diet a week, you are missing out what God can put into your life. You've got to get an understanding that you need him every day. The Bible says that Jesus is the bread of life. If you're not in relationship with him and you're not in lifestyle with him every day, you're starving. And you know what happens after you starve for so long? You starve for so long, you quit being hungry. If you've ever fasted and went on a fast, you know, about day 3, the pain leaves. And then what you find out is you just don't got no strength. Floating day 4, day 5 on a fast is no problem because your mind don't even, I mean, it's like your mind quits picturing. But let me tell you, you need to know, the thing about hunger is this. Number one is, when you're hungry, you know it. Even when the pain quits. This is how you need to know when you're hungry, you know it. Because the Bible says in Isaiah 29 verse 8, it says this, the hungry dream. Did you know that? The hungry dream. That's a powerful, powerful statement that the Bible gives there. The Bible says that the hungry dream, and I want to tell you this, you need to know it, and you need to look for the signs, because the truth is, like I say, you can get to a point that you've gone so long without food and fasting that eventually the hunger, the feelings of hunger and the recognizing of hunger leaves. And so what you need to start doing is looking for signs. If you're not dreaming of bigger and better and doing greater things for God, you're hungry. And you need to know it. But you know you're hungry is if you dream. You walk into services and you dream of your children standing beside you one day in that service. Or you, when you're going to bed at night, or you're talking, when you're walking through the store and you're dreaming of you praying for people there, even in Walmart, not having to worry about anything. Or you dream about you sitting in a service and the anointing of God hits you on the body and your whole body warms from the top of the head and it's like a fire on the inside of you. And you know that while that's going on, that disease is being burned out because the healing power of God is going. If you're not dreaming of God doing something in your life, I want you to know you're not hungry. So some of us need to move back to the point of, can I dream again? Father's Day, we preached on the pursue, and we're in the process. We're about to launch it here, the ministry of the pursuit. And I'm going to ask every man in this church to join the pursuit with me, because if we don't pursue men, we're going to lose some things. And so God's desire is never for you to lose things. God's desire is for you to keep going forward in things and Him be able to add things. You be able to get stronger and handle things. And so think about it is we're going to pursue. And one of the pursuits is you got a dream. God gave you a dream years ago. If you go back to when you were a child, you can remember how you knew God was going to do great things through you. But life within itself, and that's just getting busy and staying occupied. You know, in a work day, I can go to work, and I'm not a breakfast eater. I'm a Red Bull drinker, so I drink Red Bull in the mornings, and I don't eat breakfast. And if my day is extremely busy, I will get through lunch and never even realize that lunch came past. Life has a way of getting men so busy and doing what they do that they can go without hunger for so long. You don't run. And one of the, you give up on the dreams, your dreams that you had of God using you to do great things and to be great things and to be a part of great things and Him see Him do great things. We lose that because we've allowed hunger to go for so long. You need to understand something. God never meant for you to be hungry without Him wanting to satisfy. So He said, if you're hungry and thirst, He said, He will satisfy. So the first thing about hunger, you need to know if you're hungry or not. You need to be able to look at yourself and recognize, am I hungry or not? And if you don't have a spiritual dream of God doing something for you, doing something through you, and doing something in you, then you're not hungry. And it's dangerous not to be hungry. Number two, when you're hungry, you'll protect it. Bible says the devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil's hungry. You need to understand that the devil's hungry. He's looking for somebody. He's looking for a family to chew up and spit out. He's looking for children to tear their future apart. He's looking for a marriage to separate and split. The devil's as hungry as he can be. He gets up every day seeking out. He's hungry. Think about it. Are you? And if you are hungry, then you need to protect it. You need to keep your hunger in a place that the eating the wrong things don't satisfy you in the wrong way. Number three, if you're hungry, you'll sacrifice for it. There will be a sacrifice. If you're really hungry, there's always a sacrifice. In Proverbs 6, the Bible says this. It says, we don't blame a man that will steal to feed his family when his children are hungry. That's weird. It didn't say you're supposed to steal. It didn't condone, but it says we don't blame a man. What does that mean? What that means is this. It means that when you're hungry, when you're really hungry, God expects you or understands when you're willing to step out of what outside of safe things to be able to get those needs met. What I mean by that is this. Right now, most of us sit in this room, in this auditorium, and in church service, in our comfort zone, in a safe place, in a safe posture. And do that. But when you get a man hungry, and he'll risk everything to feed his family. He'll feed everything to meet that need. I'm telling you, there's been times in my life I've been hungry. And I've been at altars and I didn't care what nobody thought. I didn't care if I got up from it and I left a pile of snot and a big old puddle of tears. I didn't care because I was hungry. Think about it, it's a lot of times now because we get a few of our needs met and we get to a place where we're a little satisfied and the drive maybe has been pulled back just a bit. We don't get out of what's safe. We stay in what's safe. And so because we stay in what's safe is we lose a hunger. And King Solomon in Proverbs said, hey, I understand. A man gets hungry, he's going to do crazy things. He may steal. And I'm not going to blame him for doing it because I'm telling you, hunger is a real thing. My thing is, when you're hungry, you'll do crazy things. When you're hungry, you'll get to church early. When you're hungry, you don't care when it lets out. When you're hungry, you'll get in the world. When you're hungry, you will call whoever you need it. When you're hungry, you'll do things that you wouldn't do when it's comfortable and it's safe. Things, do you know if you're hungry or not? Now, hunger works whether you're saved or you're not. The principles of hunger. The way principles of hunger is because, see, the Bible said in that scripture that you're to hunger and thirst after righteousness. That means you can hunger and thirst after things that you should not hunger and thirst after. Like you say, that's where I've seen people hunger and thirst after alcohol. I've seen people hunger and thirst after relationships. I've seen people hunger and thirst after drugs. I've seen people hunger and thirst after a lot of things. And I want you to know something. You find anybody in any area of their life, they're hungry, and you will always find them successful there. You find somebody that's so hungry for a drink, they're going to get a drink. You find somebody that's so hungry for drugs, they're going to get their drugs. Even if they have to rob their family. Hunger is a powerful driving force. So God said, in Scripture says, set your affections on things above. You got to decide what you're going to be hungry for. That's what you get to decide. Because like I say, if I walk in a Walmart when I'm hungry, my body and my flesh instantly starts telling me what I should eat. Then if I don't get back in to check what I need to eat, I'll get to the checkout cart and Jennifer will start taking everything out of the cart that I done put in there. She's got a rule, I'm only allowed 5 junk foods in the pantry at a time. When you're hungry, you got to understand. If you're not making choosing to take control of that hunger, your flesh is going to take control of that hunger. And I want you to know something. Every single person in here is hungry. And whether you're in control of it or your flesh is in control of it, one of them's being fed. And if you don't purposely make the decisions to do it, then what happens is whatever area is being fed becomes success. Now, in the area of acting, the principles of hunger still exist. One of the greatest hunger stories I've ever heard was Sylvester Stallone. When he wanted to be an actor, he did an interview and this is what he said. He said, when he was just a young man, said he wanted to be an actor and he dreamed of being an actor and that's all he could think about was being an actor. So he lived in New York and he went to 15 to 1700 acting agents trying to get a job. Now, there weren't 15 to 1,700 acting agents in New York, is what the interviewer said. And he goes, I know. I went to several of them 5, 6, 7, 8 times. He said, to the point where one of them I went to that I decided I'm not leaving here till you give me a job. And he slept on the couch in that agent's office. So the agent came in the next morning and said, fine, I'll give you a job. And he put him in a movie. As a matter of fact, he made 3 movies before he made Rocky. None of us have ever heard of him. Matter of fact, the first movie he was in for 20 seconds, and he was a thug that got beat up. He said, that's the part that agent was so aggravated at him sleeping. He said, I'm going to give you, I can't beat you up, but I can let the world think you got beat up. So they put him in a part where he was a thug and he got beat up. His wife began to say, you need to quit this acting thing. He was going broke. They had no money, could not get a job. They didn't think his personality, they didn't think anything about him worked. So you're not a good actor, your accent, nothing's going to work about. We can't use you. And he said, I was hungry. And they said, well, why didn't you get a job? He said, because if I would have got a job, I would have settled. And if my bills would have ever gotten to a place where they were paid or met, or if I wasn't in need, then I would not have been as hungry. It would have satisfied areas in my life, and I would not have pushed as hard, I would not have ran as hard, and I would not have worked as hard to get where I am today. He said, I'm going to stay hungry. So he couldn't get a job. He was sitting at his apartment. He said it got so bad that he hawked his wife's jewelry. He said, and that was the beginning of any death of any relationship. When you sell your wife's jewelry, you're ready. Your marriage is over. He just to buy food. He sold his wife. And then he moved to a point. He said, I had something I loved more than anything. I had a dog. He said, it was my best friend. He said, the reason why my dog was my best friend, he says, because I could come home and my wife would be screaming at me to get a job. And she was unhappy with me. And I went and did all this. And so he said, the best friend, if nobody else was happy to see me, I'd walk in the house and this dog was happy. He said, I love this dog more than anything. He said, but I was hungry. I had a dream. So he took his dog to the liquor store. sat outside the liquor store and decided he had to sell his dog. Says the saddest day of his life. He sat outside the liquor store and sold his dog. He said he was trying to get $50 for it. Nobody take it for $50. Finally, one guy talked him out of it down to $25. Sold his best friend in the world. Said he cried all the way back to his apartment. Broken hearted, but he was hungry. Said he was sitting in his apartment. He watched a boxing match between a white guy and the champ. What's his name? Muhammad Ali. He said, and when he watched that movie, he said something ignited on the inside of him. When that fight was over, he sat down and for 20 straight hours, Sylvester Stallone pinned out Rocky I. He said when he was through, didn't sleep, pinned out Rocky I. When he was done, said his pen was shaking. He was so excited. He said it was the first time he can remember that hunger on the inside of him even beginning to be satisfied. So he grabbed the script. He went to every music agent, he could get to, and tried to shop the script to them, and they wouldn't take it. He said, everybody said, it's too predictable, it's going to be sappy. He made a list of everything no they told him, then they told him what was wrong. And he read that list when that movie won an Oscar. He finally found a guy that said they loved the script, they wanted to make a movie, so they offered him $135,000 to buy the script from him. He said, great, one condition, I get to act in it. And he said, what? No, you're a writer. He said, no, I'm an actor. He said, I wrote this so I could act. This is me. This is my dream. This is who I want to be. And they said, there's no way. We're not going to put a no name, nobody, no actor up in front of this. He says, we'll buy it for $135,000, but we're not going to put you in it. He said he was hungry. So he walked out of there knowing that maybe he's going to starve that night, but he wasn't going to sell out because he was hungry. A couple weeks went by, they offered him $250,000, $250,000 to buy that script. And he said, absolutely not. It's not for sale. I want you to know something. Hunger's not for sale. If you're really hungry, nothing will satisfy that hunger except what you're hungry for. So he took that and he said no. And so they called him back a month later and they said, all right, we'll let you act, but we're only going to give you $35,000. So they bought the script. They gave him $35,000 because they were going to have to put him in it. They figured they could recoup. They didn't invest any money in it. Rocky I was filmed and made for $1 million. Since then, the Rocky franchise has brought over $1 billion because he was hungry. He went and he filmed in it. And so the interviewer said, well, what did you do with that $35,000? Did you celebrate? He said, no. He said, I went back to the liquor store. He goes, you went to get your dog. He said, yes, I did. He said, I stayed outside that liquor store for 3 days waiting for that guy to come by that bought my dog. He said, finally he came by and he said, when I saw him, he said, hey, man, when I sold you my dog, I was desperate. I was broken. I needed to eat. I didn't have money. He said, but I've got money now. I said, you paid $25. I'll give you $100. The guy said, I'm not selling the dog for $100. Rocky said, or Sylvester Stallone said, I'll give you $1,000. He said, I'm not giving you my dog for $1,000. And so the interviewer said, well, what did the dog cost you? He said, it cost me $15,000 and a part in Rocky movie. The guy that sold him the dog got to be a part in the movie. Play the clip real quick.
You know, living with you, it hasn't been easy. People see me, but they think of you. Now with all this going on, this is going to be worse than ever.
It don't have to be.
No, sure it does.
Why? You got a lot going on, kid.
Well, my last name? That's the reason I got a decent job. That's the reason why people deal with me in the first place. Now I start to get a little ahead. I start to get a little something for myself. And this happens. Now I'm asking you as a favor not to go through with this, okay? This is only going to end up bad for you, and it's going to end up bad for me.
You think I'm hurting you?
Yeah, in a way you are.
That's the last thing I ever wanted to do.
I know that's not what you want to do, but that's just the way that it is. Don't you care what people think? Doesn't it bother you that people are making you out to be a joke and that I'm going to be included in that? Do you think that's right? Do you?
You ain't going to believe this, but you used to fit right here. I'd hold you up and say to your mother, this kid's going to be the best kid in the world. This kid's going to be somebody better than anybody ever knew. And you grew up good and wonderful. It was great just watching. Every day was like a privilege. Then the time come for you to be your own man and take on the world, and you did. But somewhere along the line, you changed. You stopped being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame, like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
The reason why those movies were so powerful all the way through is because they were written out of a place of hunger. You can stop the clip there. What you need to understand about God is this. The Bible says he will bless the hungry. He will fill the hungry. But you need to know, Jesus never, ever, 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 ever turned away a hungry person. No matter how many there were. In Matthew 6 and 14, verse 16, the Bible says this. Pull that one up for me, Joe, if you will. Matthew 14, verse 16. We need to see this one. You need to see. The Bible says there were 5,000 hungry people. That's a lot of people. And the Bible says that they did not even have enough to feed those people. You got to understand, if you're hungry, God will not turn you away, no matter what he has to do to meet your need. Matthew 14, verse 16. He's going to pull it up. It says, and Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. The disciples said, hey, send them away. They're hungry. Let them go find their own source of fulfillment. And this is what Jesus said. He said, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. The disciples said, all we've got right here is all we've got is just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He says, let me put my hand on it. I put my hand on it. And there were 5,000 people there. And every one of them left, the Bible says, full to the brim, to the point there was left over. Matthew 15:32 says there another point there were 4,000 people come to the Lord to hear him teach. And it says they got hungry. And the Bible says he did a miracle and made sure that their need was met and they left fulfilled. In Matthew 15:27, the Bible says that there was a lady that came to him and said, Jesus, Master, feed my daughter. I mean, she's got this great need. She needs you in her life. And Jesus said this. He says, you know what? What I have is not for you. You're not a Jew. It's for the Jews. It's not for you. And this is what she says. She says, even the dogs get to eat the crumbs under the table. She said this, Jesus, I understand what you got. I may not deserve it, but I'm hungry. And if I'm hungry, I don't care if I got to crawl under the table. I will take anything you got to give. And the Bible says, because of her faith and her desire and her hunger, her daughter was healed. Jesus never turns away hungry people. I'm telling you, how many services have you come into and you walked out of exactly the same as you were when you got here? I want to tell you why you did that. Because you did not come in hungry. If you'll come into the place where God is, if you'll get into the Prince of God, wherever he is, if you'll get into your prayer closet hungry, if you'll get into your word hungry, if you'll get into a church service hungry, God will not let you walk out of that meeting without him meeting your need. So why is it that I come to church a lot of times and go out the same? Because I did not come hungry. Be it unto you according to your faith. The woman with the issue of the blood said this. The Bible said the woman with the issue of blood woke up one morning and realized this thing is killing me. I've got something going on inside of me that only God can fix, only God can fulfill, only God can meet. And if I don't get to God, this need will never be met. And the Bible said this, and I picture it like a football team. The Bible says when she got up, she was sick. She already felt bad. She did. But she went knowing that and I'm going to touch him because he's got some. That is the bread of life. And if I can get my hands on some bread, I'm going to put it to use what it was meant to be used for. And the Bible says when she got there, I picture it like a football. He was the quarterback. He was standing behind the huge line of guards. Here was this little weak girl. She got there, and because you know, the Bible says she had to press through the crowd. He was surrounded. She had to press through. I want you to know, a lot of times we may come to church hungry, but as soon as we encounter the crowd, maybe somebody will bump us the wrong way, or somebody will look at us the wrong way, and it takes our hunger completely away. We replace our hunger with offense, or we replace our hunger with fear, or we replace our hunger with attitude, and we aren't willing. But I tell you, if you're hungry, you'll press through the crowd. I'm telling you, it's amazing. You know everybody else was trying to get close to Jesus, but the Bible says the weakest one there, the most unclean one there, the one that had been sick the longest there, had the ability to press through, the Bible says, a large crowd and get his hand or get her hand on him. How could you do that? You get somebody hungry, they will have supernatural strength to get through whatever they're going through, not because of what's in them, but it's what's driving them. I'm telling you, if you will stir a spiritual hunger on the inside of you and determine, nothing will satisfy me except what God has for me, you can't be stopped. You got to understand this. When you're hungry, you get desperate. You get desperate. In Luke 3:15, it says this. Luke 3:15, it says this. There had been 400 years and no one had heard God speak. 400 years. No one had heard God speak. It happened right at the beginning. And what had taken place is this. The Old Testament ended in it. And for 400 years, God went silent. And it wasn't until Jesus showed up on the scene did we begin to hear God speak again. So you got to understand something. 400 years, that's multiple generations. There have been multiple generations get to a point where they were hungry for the word of God and hungry to hear God speak. So the Bible says in Luke chapter 3 verse 15, it said they had moved to a place of expectancy. You can tell you're hungry when you start expecting God to do something for you, because you know, look, we got to see this scripture. You got to see the scripture. You got to see in Luke chapter 1 verse 53. You got to see, this is so amazing. Luke chapter 1 verse 53. It says, he has filled the hungry with good things. Do you see what it says? It says he had filled the hungry. See, why did they in Luke 3 get expecting? Because see, they knew that if they were hungry, if they get good hungry, the Bible says God will meet their needs. He will fill them with good things. So they knew that. So in Luke 1, it says he will feed the hungry. It says he filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he sent away empty. If you've got enough and you don't need any more, I'm telling you, you're going to walk out of here with exactly what you came in here with. You're not going to, if it's going to take you being hungry. It says he filled the hungry. So then we find in Luke 3, we find a hungry people. And the Bible says that they came expecting, because they knew that when Jesus gets here, he will fill the hungry. So the hungry went to where they knew Jesus would be. And you got to understand, that wasn't just anywhere. Because they were, you know, a lot of religious people were still sitting in the church. But these people went out to the wilderness and they went to see, and you got to understand, because generations change and things in generations do change. And I got to say, if you're trying to put God in a box because you're from an old generation, you got to understand, God can, he got to have permission to do things outside the box, but the hungry don't care. I got to be honest with you. When I'm hungry, I don't care if the chef behind the counter is wearing a 3-piece suit. I do want him to wear a hairnet, but I don't care if he's wearing a chef uniform. If he knows how to cook a good burger, give me a good burger. And the Bible says that these guys in Luke 3, they went out to the wilderness. Of all places, the wilderness. Where's the wilderness? A wilderness is where there's more hungry people than in the city ever thought about being. They went out to the wilderness. The Bible says they began to expect. Now, one translation says they were standing on their tiptoes. One translation says they were chomping at the bits. They got there hungry. My question is this. When you come into the presence of God, are you hungry? Do you come expecting God? Do you come thinking that this Sunday will be my Sunday? Today will be my day. I'm not leaving here, because I've got to be honest with you. It's not what we can do for you. It's what you can get from God. And you can have the deadest, driest, boringest preacher come up here and speak, all right? It may not even be your genre of music, but it don't matter. If you're hungry, you know how to dig in, press in, get past the crowd, get over a fence, and touch who God is. Because when you touch the bread of life, you go home full. The Bible says this, Jesus fills the hungry, and in Joshua, or when it came to Joshua, Exodus 33, Joshua was hungry beyond an entire generation and before his time. The Bible says, out of all the people that got the promises of God, he promised a whole generation that he'd given them the promised land. But this is what it says. You can start my altar call video if you don't mind, guys. The Bible says that Joshua and Caleb, they were of a more excellent spirit, one translation says. Another translation said they were of a different spirit. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says that this different spirit about them, it brought them to a place where they would never be satisfied unless they got what God had said they could have. I love Moses. I'm so thankful for Moses. Moses is mightily used by God. But Moses was satisfied just seeing what God could give him. That's why Moses died on the mountain. This is what he said. He said, God let him go up on the mountain and see before he died, because just a glimpse of it was enough for him. Because with long life, well, God satisfies. He died just getting to see. Joshua said this. He said, I am not going to die until I have everything that God has promised me. And I'm going to be hungry for it. And I'm going to go after it, even when nobody else does. I can show you a scripture where it says Joshua was hungry. If you'll go to Exodus 33:11, we're going to do two more scriptures and we're done. Exodus, oh, you can't. I'm going to read it to you. And the Bible said this. It says, and Moses would go into the tent of meeting, and he would come before the Lord. It says, and he would meet with God. And then he would get up and he would walk away and go back to doing his stuff. The Bible said this. It says, but Joshua, the son of Nun, would stay in the tent a little longer. I'm telling you, when you're hungry, you'll do what other people want. When you're hungry, you'll stay in the presence of God a little longer. When you're hungry, you'll do anything it takes. You will not leave till that need is met. There used to be a day, I remember, and you read books about the great men that said all they would go out into the wilderness and they would scream and holler at heaven until heaven came down. There was a day of the great olds that the guys would take and they would forsake everything and give weeks and months of seeking and fasting. The Bible says Jesus took 40 days in the wilderness without eating just to have an encounter with the ministering angels. You've got to get to a place where you're hungry, because I got to tell you why. You need to, if you've got your Bibles, you got to turn to this one, because we've got this video playing. Go to Psalms 107. You got to see this. You got to know why you have to stay hungry. We've not flipped in a Bible in a while. We'll flip in this one. I'm going to touch on mine. Psalms 107. Go down to verse 36. You got to see what this is. Is this not the most amazing thing? Here it says this. It says in verse 36, it says, he makes the hungry dwell. Another translation says this, he makes the hungry live. I want to say, you think you're dying in an area? You need to get hungry. If your marriage is dying, get hungry. If you're find it or get hungry. If you're hungry, the Bible says if you'll be hungry, he makes the hungry dwell. One translation says live, but then this one says, and it says, that they may establish a city. I want you to know something. God wants you to change this city. God wants you to be a part of changing this city. But the Bible says he only uses the hungry to change a city. He only uses the hungry, I'm telling you, to change a family. He only uses the hungry to change a church. He only uses the hungry to establish a city. That means this. When you get hungry, he's going to give you favor, and he's going to give you position, and he's going to open doors for you, because when the hungry get hungry, he will use them to change this city. How many of you guys know God needs to change this city? When the hungry gets hungry, he's going to change this nation. My thing is, I am so tired of being satisfied. I remember the day that I realized, I look at my thing and I worked construction for a long time. When I first started doing construction, I didn't do a good job at it because I only thought of myself as a minimum wage worker. And I would bid jobs with me making $365. Let me tell you how far ago that was. Now minimum wage is $850. I would bid jobs with me making $3, and then I got hungry making $365 an hour. If you're only making $365 an hour, you're hungry a lot. And when I got hungry enough, I said, you know, something here has got to change. I had to start looking at myself and looking and say, you know what? I know how to do this, and I know how to do this. I know I'm not a $365 an hour worker. I can see myself making $15 an hour. So I started bidding jobs at $15 an hour, and I started getting them. I was shocked. And weird thing is, I got hungry making $15 an hour. Let me tell you what. I just did a job last week. I made $125 an hour. Because those needs didn't meet my needs anymore. When you get hungry, you start seeing that God has better things for you. And when you see God has better things for you, then you can see how God can do those things. I'm telling you, we need to get hungry. And I pray that God would put a spirit of hunger on us. Because what you got, God wants more for you. What you have, God has more for you. And all you have to do, the Bible says, if you will get hungry for Him and doing it His way, God will fulfill you and you will never lack a single thing. Every good thing will be added to you and you will live a life where you're satisfied. Do you receive it this morning? Let me pray for you. Father God, I ask you right now to put a spirit of hunger over every single person in here in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that you are able to do above, exceedingly above everything we could think or ask. God, it's not an issue with you. It's an issue with us. And Bible says, the Lord says, you will do it if we will commit into you. And God, we make the commitment right now. Say, God, I ask you to stir a hunger on the inside of each one of us. That when we lay down, we can't sleep without wanting more of you. When we rise up, we can't live without wanting more of you. We know we need you. We want you, God. And your word says, if we will come to you hungry, you will never send us away unsatisfied. And so right now, God, I pray you raise the expectation of the people in this church right now. You raise the spirit of expectancy into them right now. I ask that you put inside of them a desire to be more, do more, and allow you to see you accomplish more in their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. If you receive the spirit of hunger this morning, say amen in the name of Jesus.